Among popular sports that run at the clock, football is unique. In basketball, you have the buzzer beater.
The court with Archie Diacono. 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
In field hockey, in American football, time runs out as the game ends. Only in football, it doesn't. Back in the late 19th century, it used to, but then the story goes that an Aston Villa player did something sneaky. With a couple of minutes remaining and a penalty given to their opponents, he kicked the ball out of the ground so that by the time they brought it back, the clock had run out. And in those days, when the clock ran out, the game was over. And thus was born the concept of stoppage time. Football, the game we all know and love, is a free-flowing game with no American sports-style stoppages and timeouts, except for just the halftime break. The action is fluid, and while there are stoppages, rather than stop and start the game clock, the time is appended on to the clock at the end of each half, which we know as injury time or stoppage time. Defined by Law 7, among FIFA's rules that govern the game, injury time, stoppage time, or sometimes called added time, is calculated based on stoppages during the game and added by the referee at the end of each half. And this unique bit of the end that is not quite the end, like an after-credit scene in a movie, usually packs in a lot of drama, suspense, and surprise. Football is full-fledged opera, and it's not over until Sir Alex Ferguson points at his watch and gesticulates at the referee as the assistant puts out a board with a number showing how many minutes of time to be added. Manchester United fans should know.
If you're in that dressing room after the game and we've scored in the last minute, the electricity is unbelievable. They're jumping atop each other and the hand come up and the staff are going down. It's a fantastic place to be. The most important thing is those fans are walking out that stadium, desperate to get back down to the pub to talk about it, get home to tell their wife and their kids what happened at Old Trafford in the last minute of that game.
That, of course, was Sir Alex Ferguson talking about added time, also known as Fergie time, also known as squeaky bum time. Hello and welcome to Soccer Stories, where we bring you the stories that made football, and in this episode, the madness of stoppage time. I asked a few of our listeners to pick their favorite stoppage time goals, and Soccer Sense podcast listeners picked quite interesting ones. Liverpool fan Apurv, who tweets at Apurv Lawyer, picked Dejan Lovren's goal against Borussia Dortmund that capped a remarkable comeback on a great European night at Anfield recently in the Europa League. Jayanth, who tweets at Jazz30, picked Sergio Aguero's goal against QPR that helped Manchester City win the 2011-12 Premier League on goal difference in the most extraordinary circumstances.
Balotelli, Aguero!
KM Rajiv picked Beckham's sublime free kick against Greece in the World Cup 2002 qualifying campaign at Wembley, which basically got England through to that World Cup. And at Paps underscore Gunner, an Arsenal supporter, picked a Michael Owen goal that helped Manchester United beat Manchester City deep, deep into stoppage time. Manchester United's name, unsurprisingly, came up quite a bit while discussing these goals. So what I decided to do was sit down with Soccer Sense's resident Manchester United fan and expert, Vishal Menon. So I decided to ask about injury time goals to somebody who has, let's just say, a fairly complicated relationship with injury time or stoppage time goals. We are joined by the Soccer Sense panelist, Vishal, and the Manchester United fan.
Hey guys.
Yes.
So we've had it all in injury time. We've won it, we've lost it, we've destroyed it, we've cried, we've happily and sadly all in injury time. We like to call it Fergie time.
So since you're talking about Fergie time, people really started paying attention to goals during stoppage time, probably especially the modern generation, after what Manchester United did to Bayern Munich in the Champions League final. Yeah. So we'll just quickly go back and at your memory strings there. Yeah. What do you remember of that goal?
So I started following United in the year 98. So it was just the year before this thing. And while I could not watch the final, it was me following it and reading about it and watching the highlights the next day. It was just, at that point in time, I did not understand what stoppage time is, and I did not know what stoppage time as much as I do now. But it just set precedent for me about what United as a club are about for me at that point in time, saying this is what I love, this is what I support, and this is what I resonate with to the club. And the just sheer feeling of joy when you see that, and I still go back to watch that video over and over and over again, and that's what stoppage time for me is. It's about
United. And we have seen this often. Amazingly, Liverpool happened to be the highest number of winning stoppage time goals in the Premier League, followed by, I think, Arsenal have the highest number of goals in stoppage time.
Yeah.
And points won or games won, Liverpool is one of the highest, Arsenal second, United third. So one thing you can say is this team's fight till the end, it's not over till it's over, all the cliches.
Yeah.
But as a player, and you having been on the field, what's the thought process that's going through somebody's mind during stoppage time?
So, see, basically, I'll tell you what. So, any team that has a capability of pushing and winning in stoppage time, right, while everybody talks about mental strength and everything, it also shows the physical strength and physical fitness of the team. Because for you to not only just play 90 minutes, because by the end of 90 minutes, you're mentally exhausted. Yeah, because football, as tough as a physical game it is more of a mental game, because you are making 100 decisions in a minute for all practical reasons, and you're thinking that way. So by the time you're done in 90 minutes, you're that exhausted and this thing. And the one thing, any team that has a capability to keep pushing beyond the 90 minutes and play on the last 3-4 minutes and score as and when required, one, it shows physical ability to last that long and push yourself that further, because you can easily play for extra time at that point in time. You can easily settle for a point. But the fact is, you actually have it in you, and you got to credit the coaching system at a basic level to build that fitness level. And currently, the fittest team that does it most often in the Premier League right now is Tottenham Hotspur, where they become the experts of late goals in the last 2 years. And this is coming down to the fact that they are in fact their fittest team in the Premier League, and they can actually keep pushing beyond the 85th and the 90th minute to score that crunch goal where it matters. So, and as a player, I've faced multiple situations where we've had to step up in stoppage time and score in stoppage time. In fact, in the last two
weeks. So, we'll look at both the. Yeah. So, we'll start with your instance in the tournament 2 weeks back.
2 weeks back, we won.
Where you had to score in stoppage time?
We scored in the final in stoppage time of extra time and won the final. And it is actually the most challenging part of the game, right? Because we know the next minute we're getting penalties. We could either settle for penalties and try to win it at penalties, or give it that extra push and that extra, because it requires presence of mind. It requires physical strength, it requires stamina, it requires courage to go out there and do it. So it's a lot of things playing in your head, because at one level you're thinking you don't want to commit too much and concede a goal at the other end. At other thing, you want to go ahead and give it 100%. So it involves a lot of clever decision making and knowing when to do what to do and pushing yourself. And like I said, it's that balance between physical and mental strength that really drives you to push yourself in the game
so
and go out and do it in stoppage time.
Often results in stoppage time is not an accident. As Vishal pointed out, it could have to do with the mental toll it takes. Our brain is usually wired to switch off when it gets a cue that we have reached the end of something. The extra 2 to 4 minutes on an average seem too much of a burden, and our brain has already kind of switched off because the 90 minutes are up or the 45 minutes are up of the half. Our fellow panelist and a man who will talk about the goals Vishal and I won't agrees. So what we did was go and talk to Soccer Sense's resident investment banker and Juventus fan, Karan Naresh. So Karan, injury time goals, and of course the one that you almost prophesized.
Well, what can I say? I mean, injury time goals have the ability in them to stir up emotions in an individual more than what an episode of Game of Thrones can. But coming back to that famous injury time goal, I guess you could say that for Manchester City fans especially, that was probably, what, 40, 50 years in the making. So you can imagine the kind of absolute euphoria that they would have felt at that point of time when Aguero scored that goal and, you know, he ran down the... towards the corner flag, you know, celebrating with the fans. I think it's more about, you know, it's the fact that, I mean, a goal can be scored at any point of time, but when something is scored so late, when you least expect it, and pretty much the last kick of not just the game, but last kick of the season, it just, you know, adds that much more drama to it.
Yeah, so which is what the writers of Escape to Victory figured out very early on when they tried to make that movie. Okay, so from a behavioral perspective, from whatever you have seen of teams' strategy and tactics during injury time, what do you think changes or doesn't change when a game goes into injury time? And you know that you are playing in this so-called borrowed time scenario. How does the psychology change?
So basically what happens in these situations is that it depends on, say, what the situation of the game as to how it's flown. Now, say you can take a scenario where one team has been in the lead for pretty much a majority of the game, and then pretty much with the last kick of the game, you know, the opposition tend to equalize. And if it's a knockout game, it's more like, you know, the team that was leading for pretty much the entire game, the toughies have been knocked out of them, and mentally they're just thinking, oh my god, now we have to go through another 30 minutes. Whereas the team that has actually equalized, I actually feel that, you know what, we've gotten ourselves out of jail, push on.
They've got a second life. So would it be fair to say that a lot of what happens during injury time also has to do with psychological meaning, that you understand, I mean, if you're playing basketball, if the buzzer goes, that's the end of time, but...
Definitely. There is definitely a lot of psychology involved. It's more about, you know, I guess here even the manager actually, you know, tends to play a huge role, though, you know, they're not on the field actually performing. Because what actually happens is that when managers like Alex Ferguson, for example, they instill it in their team that we go till the 93rd or the 95th minute, no matter how long it takes. Whereas, you know, there are teams which are probably, you know, not as equipped going that length of a game. They tend to, you know, falter much earlier. You can actually take an example of teams like the Tottenham of, say, a few years back, where they always say that, you know, they had a very soft underbelly. I think when it reaches that late in the game, it's not as much about skill as it is about mental toughness.
Alright. And any other famous favorite goals that you'd like to pick out?
Well, how can we forget that late, really late goal that France scored against Italy at the end of Euro 2000? I mean, that goal was so late that pretty much, like, you know,
qualifying for the next Euro was about to start.
Exactly. I mean, and that actually illustrates perfectly what I was speaking to earlier. I mean, Italy were pretty much in the lead for virtually the entire game, and with the last kick, France happened to equalize. And once it actually went into extra time, or like they used to call it back then, golden goal, there's only going to be one team who are going to win it.
Yes, absolutely. I watched the entire game, and I know exactly what you mean. And as an Italian fan, I know exactly what you mean.
So it looks like I've dropped two soccer sense panelists the wrong way today.
Exactly. You can speak about the goals that we dare not speak about.
Yes, of course.
Which is why we brought you into the program. As the clock winds down and suggestions grow of making football a stopwatch sport like basketball, Bishal disagrees. His argument? Stoppage time in a microcosm is all you need to know and have come to love about the game of football. The drama, the battle for survival, the killer winning blow, heartbreaks and hurrahs, heroes and villains, all of that can just emerge in that one heartbeat.
I think stoppage time is like a quick summary of what football stands for, right? It's about giving it your all and giving it your all as and when it matters. It's equally important to be as good in the first minute as in the 93rd minute. And if it's a, it just gives you more to look forward to, as in I think every fan out here looks for a a stoppage time glorious moment, and that just adds to it. For example, the fact that Lovren did what he did in against Dortmund, or Solskjaer and Sheringham finishing for United, and a Drogba scoring for Chelsea, and Sergio Aguero, which I don't want to talk about also, but that's the beauty of football, right? As when you look back at these glorious moments, if you want to stop at a stopwatch, imagine how much you'd have missed out on.
2013, the championship playoff semi-final second leg. Watford are facing Leicester City over a two-leg semi-final to decide who proceeds to the final at Wembley, the winner of which will earn promotion to the Premier League. The teams are level on aggregate, and it is the seventh minute of stoppage time when Leicester have a penalty, one that will surely win the game for them and the tie. Here's what happened next.
Who won it, scores it. Leicester City go to Wembley, and it's the end for Watford. Knockout takes, Almunia saves, knockout follows in, Almunia saves again! Absolutely astonishing. Now here come Watford. Forestieri. Here's Hogg! Deeney! Do not scratch your eyes! You are really seeing the most extraordinary finish here! It almost mirrors the final day! With the very last kick of this playoff semi-final, Troy Deeney wins it for Watford and sends them to Wembley!
Leicester will miss out on the Premier League that season. But they would be promoted the next season though. And we all know what happened next. The most amazing thing is that desperation and having your backs to the wall can make human beings do extraordinary things. We have evolved to be that way. And maybe, just maybe, stoppage time during a football game is a glimpse of that side of us. That side that quietly keeps reminding us. But who dares win? Soccer and Soccer Stories, produced, scripted and hosted by me, Tari, with additional inputs and help from my fellow panelists from Soccer Sense Podcast, Vishal Menon and Karan Naresh. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher under Soccer Sense, or on Pocket Casts under Soccer-Sense, or visit us at soccer-sense.madewithopinion.com. Then follow us on Twitter at Sense Soccer. We look forward to joining you again with the next installment of Soccer Stories, where we look at another story that made football. Till then, goodbye and thank you for listening.